Is a Democrat from Ohio, co-chair of the Congressional Ukrainian Caucus. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Here's a photo of a worker in Kiev, Ukraine, pulling out a freshly printed sheet of ballots to be used Sunday in a rerun of the election, having just returned from Ukraine. Are they ready to go? How is this going to work out this time?
They are very ready to go, and I think Congressman Rohrabacher would agree with me that I've been to Ukraine many times over the last 30 years. I have never, ever witnessed the amount of public outpouring, people on the streets, free assembly being demonstrated, material given to us as we walk the streets, for example, in Kiev and Lviv, printed by different parties. And all kinds of, we were given flags. And here's the calendar, a woman for 2005 talking about the Orange Revolution. So they are at least psychologically ready, and with the numbers of thousands of observers coming in from out of the world, they are going to try to conduct a free election.
Dana Rohrabacher is a Republican from California. You folks got back late last night, huh?
Late last night.
We have...
I am in no time zone. I'm leaving for California in a few hours. So.
Well, we have several photos from the trip, from this congressional delegation. First of all, how many folks went over?
Six members of the House. Mm-hmm. And Marcy and myself and Adam Schiff and Maurice Henschy from New York and Daryl Issa from California, Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland.
This picture here, I believe that's President Kuchma, fourth from the left, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
What kind of sense did you get from the president of Ukraine, the outgoing president, about how this election will run?
Well, of course, his administration has been called into question by this election, and most people there in Ukraine want a change. That's what this is all about. And one of the candidates is, you might say, his designee, and the other candidate, Lyshenko, is more of the rebel. And I would say, when we're talking about Kuchma himself, President Kuchma, we shouldn't, however, forget that the man is stepping aside, and that's a very positive thing. We have so many leaders in this world. We mentioned that to him when we talked to him. We congratulated him for not being one of these leaders that had to be carried out of office. And however, this people want to change there. It's very clear. His administration, while it's created an atmosphere in the last few years of economic growth, which is what has helped the people, at the same time there's been corruption and not the type of open political society that most of those people want.
Let me get those phone numbers up for viewers to call in with their questions and comments for our two guests. We're talking about the Ukraine elections set for this weekend. If you support President Bush and his policies, call 202-628-0205. If you support Democrats, it's 202-737-0002. And if you support others, 202-628-0184. Marcy Kaptur, why is Ukraine important?
Ukraine is strategically located. It is, its name actually means borderland. And of course, she sits right under Russia. If you look to the east and all of the Stan countries, if you look to the Black Sea, Ukraine is just to the east of Poland and Hungary, the two nations that have just moved west, part of the European Union, part of NATO. Ukraine is a nation of 50 million people that has not known freedom for over a century. Within their boundaries and Russia, over 50 million people were slaughtered during World War II or were forcibly starved. This area has endured such suffering, but the nation is absolutely a link between Turkey and Europe. She is the key vital nation, and I will say, if you look at their assets, in the next century, if they can get their act together, Ukraine and the United States will feed the world. She's the richest, potentially the richest agricultural nation on the earth.
And Dana Rohrabacher, one other bit of news here from, or at least from Moscow, it says Putin alters tone toward Ukrainian candidate. More conciliatory tone toward the prospect of victory by Mr. Yushchenko following everything that's been said and written about over these past weeks. What do you make of that?
Well, it's I make it that he probably had someone on on the scene who was wetting his finger and sticking it in the air and finding out which way the wind was blowing, because it wasn't just a wind blowing in favor of Mr. Lushenko, although we're going to let the Ukrainian voters decide who their next leader is. I'm not proclaiming this. I'm just saying that my reading was that there wasn't just a wind blowing in that direction. It was a hurricane force that is going to just sweep away the old regime and bring in reformers. That's what the people want.
Before we go to calls, more photos. Marcy Kaptur, we have a photo of the delegation in a tent. Tell us about this scene here.
Well, one evening, Dana, his wife Rhonda, and our entire delegation walked through the streets of Kyiv, where still tents remain, and thousands of people peaceably demonstrating, free assembly. I just kept thinking, oh my goodness, I've seen what it used to be like, and now I'm seeing this. It was like I was on a different planet. And this particular picture is of some of the young people that have been standing and demonstrating all these weeks, weeks and weeks and weeks. They were so
bitter cold,
sleeping there. They were very well behaved. There was some dancing. Right at the top of the tent, there was a religious picture. And I said, is this a particular denomination? And the young man said, we just believe in one God. We don't want to get into a fight between denominations. But the point is, people are very well motivated. And that particular evening is one I think none of us will ever forget.
That's a great picture there. You have of Maurice Hinchy looking at that boot. And what it is... the orange stands for the Orange Revolution, and apparently their opposition suggested that all the people in the Orange Revolution are on drugs, and so you see there's on the top of that orange there's a hypodermic needle, and then they also said that everybody in the Orange Revolution are walking around in shoes made by the United States, meaning that they're really towing the United States line. So you have a boot there made in the USA and an orange on top with a syringe in it, just that's making fun of the hardliners' criticism of the reform movement.
You know, I think it's important to also say that the people are not unaware that there could be violence. And we were asked about that, even among young people, saying, well, what have you heard about the movement of arms in certain parts of the country? Do you think it would be used against us? Please let the world know that we want free and fair elections here. I met with leaders in different non-governmental organizations while I was there. There's a concern about violence. And we tried to communicate a strong message that the people's voices should be heard. I think Dana might want to say something about a letter that our delegation is preparing for the president of our country, encouraging even more communication and language and the threat of sanctions if, in fact, violence does occur.
We have a lot of folks that want to call in, but you want to tell us about the letter?
Really? Well, we have a letter right here. Marcy and I, of course, we just got back last night, so our signature is the only one on it, but they'll be joined by Congressman Issa and Congressman Hinchy and, of course, Roscoe Bartlett and Adam Schiff, and we will be all signing this letter to the president. And basically, when we were there... The leaders, well, by the way, I just didn't see much difference between the leaders and the people on the street. They are all want reform, and they all want to be friends of the United States. And they're coming out of a... President Kuchman will be seen, I think, as a transition between communism and tyranny and a Western-style government in Ukraine, because they want to have a Western-style government. This letter just indicates some of the things that if they do have a free and fair election that they'd like to see the United States do. For example, we've got some old Cold War restrictions on them under the title of the Jackson-Vanik Amendment. That hasn't been taken off yet. And if they have a free and fair election, it should be taken off. They should be part of the WTO, for example. And they should be granted what they call market status, which is what the United States labels countries that have a particular way of dealing with us economically. So we promised them that we would do our best to see if they have a free and fair election, that those changes in the United States policy would happen as soon as possible. And here we're asking the president to do that.
Let's go to calls. First one up, Toledo, Ohio, from your district, I believe, Ms. Kaptur. Go ahead, Toledo.
Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning.
We're very proud of you here in Northwest Ohio. and it's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you for calling.
What do you think would have happened in the last two terms in the United States if we had taken to the streets like the Ukrainians? I really give them credit, and it makes me proud to see people that, when they think they've been done wrong, they can demonstrate, and they can do it, you know, peacefully and not be afraid of, you know, being incarcerated. I understand that for the upcoming inauguration, they are cordoning off areas as bullpens where just a few demonstrators can demonstrate, and I think this is just awful. And I want to thank you for spearheading the World War II Memorial and also the new Chrysler plant, and God bless you, Marcy Kaptur. We love you.
Wow. Welcome home. That makes me feel. Thank you so much for calling in. And the idea of assembly is one that I completely agree with. I think that they have learned from the people of the United States, unfortunately in the age in which we live, whether we're here in the United States or traveling abroad, it was clear to us again how this age of terrorism in which we are living has prescribed our own freedoms, actually. And it's very uncomfortable to come back to Washington, which is a barricaded city in many ways, where at least the sections where we work, and facing the inauguration coming up in January. Let's hope this period passes very quickly. We have a lot of work to do internationally in order to make that happen. The people of Ukraine are risking their own lives in doing what they are doing, and yet they are having the courage to do it, and we need to be reminded of that courage ourselves.
Dana Rohrabacher, wanted to get your reaction to this headline, which was in the New York Times yesterday, Dollars for Democracy, USA to Ukraine Challenge. They talk about the $58 million that the U.S. has spent to promote democracy in Ukraine, and a couple of your colleagues, one of them being Ron Paul, Republican in Texas, is complaining now that they sent U.S. taxpayer dollars into Ukraine to influence the outcome. He says it was for partisan purposes. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we were scrupulous in our efforts never to say that we were in favor of one candidate or another while we were there. We made sure, and every one of the people I know working for our government or working for or participants in this effort, everyone are trying our best not to say that this candidate or that candidate should win, but instead to underscore the importance of a free and fair election, an election with integrity, so that the proper votes count, and that that people can't stuff the ballot boxes with improper votes. So I don't think that's a fair criticism at all, and I think that all people who believe in democracy and freedom should be supporting others in other countries, especially in tyrannies, who share those values of democracy and freedom and open and freedom of press and open societies. Because there are a lot of tyrants and bad guys in the world. So good guys should stick together.
Santa Barbara, California. Let's go, please. Go ahead, Santa Barbara.
Good morning. I have a question for Mr. Rohrabacher. You and your so-called conservative colleagues, you are concerned about the possible poisoning of the liberal candidate in the Ukrainian elections. However, you do not mention anything when weapons of mass destruction were used against the Senate Majority Leader in this country, who was a liberal. And to this day, we not only have brought anybody to justice, we don't even have any suspects on the anthrax attacks that were done in Washington, D.C. Now, why aren't you so concerned about finding those terrorists, and you seem more concerned about the liberal candidate in the Ukraine? I'm a little confused, Mr. Rohrabacher. Can you please explain?
I'm confused because I don't think I've ever mentioned that poisoning once. So you are a very confused person, and I suggest that you think about things and talk to somebody to get your head straight.
Marcy Kaptur, what is your take on this whole poisoning story?
Well, we visited the doctors that examined candidate Yushchenko, who are based in Vienna. And we had over an hour and a half briefing, and the confirmation of dioxin has now been made by three independent clinics. One of the terrible results of the struggle for freedom is his disfigurement, and the it appears as though he had gone to a dinner on September 5th and shortly thereafter fell ill. And the doctors didn't understand what it was. It was not a normal diagnosis. They couldn't find what was wrong. And he left, and then he came back 3 weeks later. And it wasn't until just a few weeks ago that dioxin was confirmed by a new type of blood testing that is done. There's theories that some of the people who attempted to poison him didn't know that a test now existed to test that type of biological substance, and they probably didn't think that it would be determined, and it might have been fatal.
Will they ever find out who did it?
I hope so. I think one of the issues is if they can do a profile on the type of chemicals used to manufacture that type of dioxin, and they can profile it, then they can find out which sources make that exact type and where it might have been sent. They're looking at that.